He leaned back to dodge Shane's oncoming fist. Before she could unleash the arsenal of the martial abilities she lacked, he held up a warning finger and said, "As thrilling as I'm sure you found that, I would rather not have to disable you. It would be unseemly and might impede our future relations. Could you be done with attempting to do me harm? We have places to be." Shane steadied, her hands still in fists. "I'm done, for now." Shane tried to project whatever ferocity existed within her, but the fear edged most out. Tossing the shirt to her, he replied, "Believe me, if I wanted you dead, you'd be the first to know. Come to think of it, you'd be the only one to know, wouldn't you? All your life, you ignored anything too weird to process. Now you are something too weird to process, and they ignore you." His body shook with silent laughter. Shane growled, frowning at her shirt on the ground. She was no action hero. She knew better than to try to catch the shirt, as she was sure was meant to distract her. "You can relax," he insisted. "I've no intention of hurting you." Her muscles tensed at this reasoning, but her brain felt liquid in her skull. "You followed me here and threw my bloody shirt at me, and you want me to relax?" He picked the shirt up from the ground and draped it over her shoulders like a cape, alongside escaping his thin lips. "That was the gist of it, yes. Incidentally, that shirt had been washed and was cleaned prior to your letting it fall on the ground." Shane pulled the shirt from her back and eyed it. It looked new. Even the cuts had been mended invisibly, as if she'd imagined them. "Now do calm down a bit. I'm not going to bite." He held his arms outstretched like the Jesus of a black velvet painting. Despite her better judgment, or any judgment at all, Shane relaxed. She was still plotting ways to do him great harm and escape. She was flexible as to the order of these events. But she knew he wasn't wrong. Shane knew how to defend against muggers and rapists. He clearly had more thorough training than the YMCA. And, despite the present situation, he was able to see and hear her. She was almost grateful, if it didn't make her all the more intent to figure out why. "Fine, I'm relaxed." Her mind was not, no matter what her body felt. "What do you want?" He dropped arms to his side, satisfied at having gotten his way. "The shirt you nicked from my closet would be a good start, don't you think? Then you'll tell me about last night, and we can see what we can do to patch things up." "You tried to violate me," she bluffed, raising a fist, the onk-ring glinting. He yawned, his shoulders shrugging. "That never happened, and I will thank you not to accuse me of crimes you were not certain I committed. Violate you, indeed. You do think highly of yourself." "Then why?" "First," he interrupted, "the exchange. I believe you'll be gratified that I put your shirt back in order. Then we talk. There's a movie and a party to which I would like to invite you, if you don't think that's too forward." Instead of replying, she looked for somewhere to undress, but found nowhere sufficient. He shook his head. "Go behind one of the pillars if you're so concerned about your blessed privacy. I wouldn't look anyway." Shane opened her mouth in protest, but he silenced her again. "As I think you should have grasped, people aren't paying a great lot of attention to you. Curious that. I am the only one who would bother to notice you undressing, and, I hesitate to add, I've seen you in your underclothes. Tasteful, by the by. So you have nothing to worry about. I am no pervert. I have a card somewhere attesting to that." He fumbled through his pockets. "No worries." Shane did not believe that she had no worries, but, for want of a better idea, she did as he said. She stepped from behind the pillar and saw that he had not moved from his spot before the statue. "Now we—" she called while still 10 yards away. "No." He called back in a stage whisper. "One more niggling detail." She stamped her foot into the gravel. "What?" "Introductions." He glided over to where she stood. His white leather shoes barely crunched on the ground, and she understood now how he had snuck up on her. He stood before her and proffered a card reading, "Gideon, rescuer of lost little girls and relatively nice guy, not a pervert." Taking his purloined shirt from her, he continued, his lips curling into a smile, "And you are Miss Shane Valentine, rescued lost little girl. Last night you were blood dry."